Good morning. It's good to see all of you here this morning. I'm excited always to see young people like James come make profession of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we do everything we can, the pastors here, to make sure everybody, whether youth or teenager or adult, senior adult, that they understand exactly what they're doing. And we want to do everything we can to help them come to where they know that they know that they know that this was a decision they made in their heart to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to make a commitment of their life, as much as they understand what that means for the rest of their life to the Lord, to follow Him and do what He wants them to do. And so I'm excited when I see young people like this come to faith in Christ, because that means a lot of sin in their life is going to be diverted, right? It means a lot of pain and a lot of suffering in the future is being put to the side because they're making Christ Lord in their life. And so we want to do what we can now through student ministry, through the preaching of the word here and in other places on our campus, so that those young people understand what it means to chase after and follow the Lord. And so it's in that whole theme and idea that I want to talk to you this morning from God's word about something that I think is absolutely huge, and that is the seasons of our life. And started with that last week, and today I want to address something that is real to all of us at different levels, and that is that there will be times in our life when we are going to experience not things coming into our life, but we're going to experience things being taken out of our life. All of us at some time or another are going to go through loss, a season of loss. And I want you to know that I understand there's a lot of pain. There's pain here in the service this morning. There will be in the two services to follow today. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to be coming in and sitting under the ministry of the word. And I just want to have us this morning to just pray that God will open our heart and that we'll just be able to hear Him. And we'll be able to hear Him as the Father that He is, a God who loves us and cares for us, but a God who also lets us know and understand that we're in a broken world and everything doesn't work like we want it to down here. Bad things happen to good people. And good things happen to bad people. And that gets confusing, doesn't it? Amen. And we're like, what is that? And the reality is, it's a broken world. And so I just want to tackle this the way God lays it out before us. So can we just pray together as we get ready to start? Lord, it's an incredible journey this morning. I'm so grateful that You have brought us here. You tackle the challenges of our days because You love us and You are a Father. And we have the presence of the Holy Spirit. We have the sacrifice and the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. In so many ways, You have proven to us that You love us, You care for us. And yet in the days of our lives, sometimes we just doubt and we wonder where You are. And we don't understand why things are jerked out of our hands, why we lose instead of gain, when we seek with everything within us to do right, to live right, to be right. And so, God, thank You for today and for this word. And we invite the Holy Spirit of the living God to be present today to make Your will clear to us and to help us understand the message of Holy Scripture. And so thank You, Father, for what You'll do. Thank You for the healing grace that will just settle upon us this morning like dew on the grass. And I pray for those men and women who today and throughout this morning are going to come to a place of peace and say, oh, now I understand. God, take hold of my life. Help me to put into Your hands and to trust You with what I've lost. and to know that in your time and your way, you'll bring good to me out of the pain of my life. And so, Father, we thank you now in Christ's name. Amen. I want us to look at the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, verse 14. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. And the writer of Ecclesiastes, of course, is King Solomon. And Solomon had a lot of wisdom that was given to him by God, but there were a lot of things that Solomon didn't understand. And one of the things that becomes clear when he talks about the meaninglessness of life is because you will see him in Scripture, he'll talk about the vanity of life under the sun. And so that's a key phrase in Scripture. And what God is simply teaching us is that oftentimes we don't understand life when we're living life under the sun, when we're not living life recognizing that there is a God who is in control, that there is a God who is watching over us in everything that you and I go through. And so he says, verse 14, "And this is not all that is meaningless in our world." In other words, when you are living under the sun, when you don't understand the sovereignty of God, when you don't embrace the sovereignty of God in the challenges of our life, then life often becomes futile. And it seems like it's just futility. Two steps forward, three steps back. He says, "And this is not all that is meaningless in our world." And then he tells us what he's thinking about. He says, "In this life, good people are often treated as though they're wicked." What does that mean? Well, translation, bad things happen to good people. Good people are often treated as they were wicked. Bad things happen to good people. And then he says, "And wicked people are often treated as though they were good." Good things happen to bad people. And he says, this is so meaningless. Would you agree that sometimes in our lives, life seems like it is upside down? It does sometimes, doesn't it? The good suffer and evil prosper. And you're like, what is that? Why don't you just write down something somewhere on your notes, and that is this: life is full of losses. That's a reality. That's reality in this world. And that's just something that God teaches us here. Nothing around me, nothing around you in this broken world is permanent. The only thing that's permanent is God's love for you and me through the Lord Jesus Christ. But everything on this earth, nothing of that is permanent. Why? Remember this. You and I live in a broken world. And in the midst of that brokenness, our God is on the throne. Amen? He's on the throne. And that's where our peace comes from. In your life and mine, we're going to experience grief. We're going to experience loss. We're going to experience tragedy. We're going to go through times where something very important is taken from us. We lose it. We're going to go through times where someone important to us is taken from us. That's going to happen virtually to every one of us. We can be children of the Lord, seeking to do what God wants us to do in our life, and yet we, as God's kids, even can lose our jobs. We can have difficulty in our finances. We have health issues. We already know that, don't we? We've got a prayer list that is long and filled with names. And they're names of God's kids who are going through one physical malady after another. So our health can be taken from us. Christians lose their marriages. And for sure, we will lose loved ones to death. If you're in a season of loss, I hope today, those of you that are listening online, I pray that this morning will be therapeutic. And it'll be like salve to bring healing to an open wound. If you're not in a season of loss, one day you will be. And your time is coming, because that's part of life. And God wants us to understand that. And today is about, how do we recover? How do we deal with that? So if you look at number one in your life point outline, let me talk first of all about the reason for life's losses. The reason from biblical scripture. And here's the first insight. Life is unfair. Life is unfair. We do not live in a fairy tale world where everybody lives happily ever after. I don't know anybody in the 50 years that I've been in ministry here. I don't know any family who lives happily ever after. I don't know anybody who doesn't have sorrow, who doesn't have loss, who doesn't have pain, who doesn't have dark days where they're asking, how am I going to get through this? I don't know. And it doesn't mean God is angry at us. That's good news, isn't it? Our text in the New Century Version says, sometimes bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people. So let me give you two things to remember, two things that seem clear to me. And number one, and this is what God wants me to understand. He says, John, remember, you're not always going to get what you deserve in life down here. You're not going to always get what you deserve down here. People have, you and I both, and I do at times, we have this myth in the back of our minds that the bad things happen to us because we're bad. And good things happen to us because we're good. And both of those are wrong. Neither one of those are true. So look at the insight, your outline. When good things happen to you in life, you know what you call that? Grace. That's God's grace. And when bad things happen to you in your life, that's called life. It's called life because of the broken world we live in. Nothing is perfect in this life. And sometimes things happen to me, things happen to you, not because you deserved it, not because you sinned against God, not because God is seeking to discipline you or punish you, but things happen to you that hurt and that don't make sense because of the kind of world that you and I live in. We live in a broken world, and being a child of God does not preserve me. It does not keep this world, this broken world, from touching me. Sometimes we suffer not because of anything that we have done. And maybe some of you are carrying guilt this morning in your heart. You feel like this happened to me because something I did was wrong in the eyes of God. And I want you to hear me this morning. What God is saying, there are a lot of times you and I suffer not because of anything we've done, but we suffer simply because we live in a world that is broken. We live in a world that is full of people who don't love Christ, and bad people do a lot of bad things, and stuff happens in the world around us. All of us get discouraged because of life events like financial loss, job loss, a friendship ends. That's painful, isn't it? How many of you had a friendship to end? Where's your hand? I have. It hurts. It's painful. And you're like, I never thought that would happen. I never thought I'd lose their friendship. And it does. Or the loss of a loved one. And maybe this morning you're here and you're online, and to be honest, you're just being honest, you're depressed. I get it. There's not a one of us at one time or another doesn't experience depression. But don't you understand, a lot of times we are depressed as children of God because we have believed a lie. And that is, I'm going through what I'm going through because God has singled me out. God wants me to go through a period of time where I am unhappy. It's God's will that I suffer loss. So it brings me to number two. I need to remember not everything that happens in life is my Father's will. Doesn't mean God is not in control. God has a sovereign will, and God has a permissive will. And not everything that happens on this planet is God's will. But he permits it. It isn't God's will when a small child is abducted. Children get abducted because their parents were evil. Children get abducted because we live in a broken world. Kids get abducted, they get molested. Little things get tortured and killed and taken away from their parents in cruel and heartless manner. You understand that is not the will of God. It's not my Father's will. How often have we thought or said, God, why are you doing this to me? And maybe you said that recently. God, I don't understand. Have I not sought to be obedient to you? Have I not sought to do what you want me to do? I don't understand why you are doing this to me. Understand, a great deal that happens in my life and yours isn't God doing something to us. God has a permissive will. God permits some things to happen, except where men's choices conflict with his sovereign will. God is in control of the ultimate end. God is in control. But there are things that God permits to go on within the context of the circle of his sovereignty. God permits a broken world to do what a broken world full of broken people does day to day. But here's the good news. I'm in a broken world. Broken people touch my life. Broken people do things that broken people do. Sin happens all around me. But the thing I have to remember is, up and above everything else in my life as a child of God, my Father is sovereign. I have a God who is sovereign over my life, even in this broken world. That's what my hope is. A lot that goes on in our world, God gets blamed for, that are the result of fallen men and women doing what fallen men and women do. They do evil things. God's promise is Romans 8 and 28, that he will work what a broken world does to us for our good and for his glory. God said, I will bring good to you out of it. I think the average American gets their cue of the acts of God from insurance companies. You know how insurance companies describe God? This is the work of God. Hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, floods. They call that the work of God. You know, that's God doing that. Murder, rape, kidnapping. Do we understand that is not the will of God? That is the overflow of men's perverseness at varying levels. Cancer, heart attacks, multiple sclerosis. Sclerosis, leukemia, those are not the work of God. That is a broken world, and that is our broken bodies. God, why did you give me cancer? God didn't give me cancer. I came from a long line of broken men and women. And over the course of several hundred years, in my lineage, there are some bad chromosomes. And I inherited what I needed in order for my body to have cancer. My Father did not do that to me. But what he does promise me is, I have not let anything come into your life, John, that's going to interfere with my ultimate goal for you. Does that make sense? I can't say, God, why'd you give me cancer? I didn't give you cancer. I didn't do that to you. That's not my work. That is the work of our broken bodies. Let me give you a biblical definition of the acts of God. You know what the act of God is, ladies and gentlemen? The act of God is when a lost child is found and parents have been frantically looking for him. An act of God was when John Kristen and we were down in Houston at Christmas time or Thanksgiving, and we were in the mall, and people were like this. And Kristen was small. And all of a sudden, we turned around. I thought Catherine had him. Catherine thought I had him. Neither one of us had him. And he was gone. And people were like that. And my heart came up into my throat. And I thought, God in heaven, where is the boy you gave me, where is he? And I started fretting. I was like, which direction do I go? What are you going to do? And I said, Father, what do I do? Show me where to go. And so I just started looking, and all of a sudden I turned to my left, and there was a Hallmark store. And I looked down one of those aisles, and it was the most beautiful sight I've ever seen in my life. There was Kristen standing there looking at the Christmas ornaments just like that. I wanted to jerk a knot in him, but I wanted to hold him so bad, I didn't. Boy, don't you ever walk off away from Daddy again. It's like, Daddy, keep your hand on me then if you don't want me to do that. You know what that was? That was a gift of my father. That was a good thing. That was from him. When a lost child is found, when you hold a little baby in your arms for the very first time and they've got all their fingers and toes and you're looking in the face of a miracle. Huh? A marriage that is put back together when everybody was thinking it'll never survive. That couple will never make it. You know what that is? That's the work of God. When a healing occurs, when cancer is cured, when a drug addict is freed from their addiction and they're cured, they begin to live a quality life and they give rather than losing day after day. That's the work of God. Ladies and gentlemen, understand this. I have to tell myself every day, God's will isn't always done. And so that's the reason for life's losses, which brings me to number two. Let me give you biblical responses to the losses of life. Let me preface what I'm going to say to you with this. My job this morning, and I realize I am in tender territory. I totally realize that. And my job isn't to explain all of the mysteries of life. But here's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. At our best, God says, at our very best, we interpret the events of our lives imperfectly. Why? He said, because you do not see everything clearly. What did Paul say? He said, in this world, we see through a glass darkly. There's a lot we don't know. There's a lot we don't understand this side of eternity. You and I are going to have losses. So what is our biblical response? Number one, sort out your grief. You sort out your grief. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. If you've had a loss in your life, maybe it's a divorce, it was a death, it's a job loss, hear me. What does God want you to do? Deal with your grief. Here's the insight. Don't shove your grief out of sight. Don't live life seemingly denying the existence of your grief. Don't try to act like it's not there. Being a good child of God, being a man or woman who chases after the Lord, who wants to honor God with your life, that doesn't mean that you're always smiling, you're always laughing, you're always joking. Expressing your grief doesn't translate into a lack of faith. There are times when I'm just not going to be smiling. Why? Because I'm going through a difficult time in my life. I live in a broken world. You live in a broken world. And sometimes we just need to be real about what we're going through, particularly with a household of faith. We need to be real. Jesus taught us in Matthew 5, verse 4, blessed are they who blank, for they shall be comforted. You know what he said? Mourn. That's right. Blessed are you, happy are you who mourn, for they shall be comforted. What in the world does that mean? It means God is saying, listen, you're in a broken world. Everything doesn't happen that I want to happen. I have a permissive will. My will is not always being done. I have a sovereign will. I'm only going to let certain things happen. The end is already going to be what the end is going to be. But in this broken world, There's a lot of things that happen that are not what I want, but I promise you, if you're my son or my daughter, I will work everything to your good and to my glory. And so it is all right for you to grieve. It is all right to cry. It is all right for you to look up to me and say, Father, I do not understand this, and I'm hurting. I'm hurting. Psalm 62 and 8, trust in him at all times. Listen, pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. Psalm 34, 18, the Lord is close to those who are faking it till they can make it. No, he is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. There will be times in my life and yours when the events of our lives emotionally and spiritually crush us. They wound our spirit. So here's the truth. The way back to health from severe loss and hurt is to deal with it. And that means you acknowledge that it's there. God says, be real. Don't act like everything is all okay. Cry out to God. Lay before him and claim Romans 28 that he's going to bring good to you in the midst of your loss. I don't understand it, but I believe you. I trust you. And it is being real with what you're going through. Jesus said in Luke 5:31, those who are well don't need a physician. It's those who are sick. So here's the insight. You'll never get help from the Lord until you admit you have a need, that you hurt, and you want to release your grief to God. Father, it is not your will for me that I be swallowed up by my grief. I grieve because I have lost something that is important. I have lost something that meant something to me. I feel like I've had something jerked out of my hands that I didn't want to lose. Father, I am in grief, and I don't want to live with this for the rest of my life. I want to give my grief to you, but I can't unless you help me. God, help me release my grief. I want to release it to you. Which brings me to number two. Let others shoulder your load of grief with you. In other words, when we're going through grief, there's going to be a period of time where we need to be alone, we need to process, but don't isolate. Don't isolate. Galatians 6, verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Those helping you bear your grief. That's why we have life groups. That's why we do that. That's why we want you to build Christian friends. These are the people, this is the church that gathers around you when you are suffering and hurting. And so that you can begin the process of unloading your grief. Why? Because God, it's not God's plan for me to carry grief deep in my chest on and on and on and on. It smothers me. And so I need to release it. It doesn't mean that I deny it. It simply means it doesn't control my life. Another translation puts it, by helping each other with your troubles, you obey the laws of Christ. So the losses of our lives, we bring to God. And we get around those people who mean something to us, because they're the ones that help us unload our grief and unload our pain. Do you understand in your life group and your time of meeting with the people that you're growing to love and you're getting close to, you realize it's all right to have those times where somebody just weeps in your presence. Huh? The absolute worst thing you can say is, boy, this is awkward. We need to stay positive here. No. 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 People need to unload their grief. The power of a healing touch is that when I'm going through loss, whether it's my health, it's a loved one, it's a job, it's my financial security. I'm in a broken world. Life has happened to me. I can't carry that for months and years. I got to get rid of that. Does that make sense? I got to unload that. How do you get to where you can draw a breath? You have to unload it. That means you get in with the people of God and you can have a time where you share how you're feeling, what you're going through, and they pray for you. Hebrews 12:15, look after each other so that not one of you will fail to find God's best blessings. And so when I'm going through grief, the last thing God wants me to do is to build a wall around myself. Don't put up a shield around your feelings and your emotions. Don't permit your pain of loss to isolate you from the church. Don't let that happen. It is a natural tendency. You want to draw up, you want to pull back, you don't want to be around anybody. Absolute last thing you need to do. Let your brothers and sisters in Christ know how you feel. Let them grieve with you and let them weep with you. Let them cry with you. That's why it's important that you're not only a part of a big group like this of worship and celebration at 8:30 or 10 or 11:30 on Sunday morning, but it's also important that you be part of a smaller group, like a D group or a Bible study group or a life group. Because here's the truth. You need to know a group of people you can talk to, people you can call on, people you can draw strength from. Listen, it does not mean I am weak and I'm lacking faith to admit that I'm hurting. That my wife and I or my husband and I are going through a rough spot. That I'm struggling in my faith. That I'm grieving to the extent that I feel stuck and I can't move forward in life. Why? Because that's real. That's real. Child of God, if you are hurting, if you're overwhelmed, if you're grieving, listen, do not draw into a shell. Don't let that happen. God has given you your church family who has a chief function, and that is to encourage one another. And then number three, refuse to be bitter. Refuse to be bitter. And listen, I want you to understand, this is a whole lot easier to preach than it is to live.
That's right.
I know some of you look at me like, see what you say when you're going through it. I understand. I do. Refuse to be bitter. Job 21:25. Some people have no happiness at all. They live and die with bitter hearts. Yeah, I think if anybody had a reason or a right to be bitter, it would have been Job. His book teaches this truth. I've got in your outline. We decide in life if we will be bitter or happy because you can't be both. You cannot be bitter and be happy at the same time. So here's an insight. When bitterness is in your heart, happiness walks out the back door of your house. It is miserable living where you live if you're bitter. And everybody in the house knows it. And you're just bitter, you're mad, you're angry. And you have to decide you're going to kick bitterness out the back door so that happiness can walk back in. So here, Hebrews 12:15. Watch out that no bitterness takes root among you. It causes deep trouble, hurting many in their spiritual lives. Child of God, listen for just a moment. Downcast man or woman, maybe online or whatever, listen. When you and I allow bitterness to build up in our life because of a season of loss, the only ones we're hurting are us.
Right.
We're the only ones. Every one of us is going to get hurt. We either get hurt by people on purpose or accidentally, but we're going to get hurt. And the truth in your outline, when you are hurt, the bitterness you allow to build up will never hurt anybody else, only you and those that are closest to you. When I'm bitter and hanging on to something, Catherine's the one that has the hard time. And same is true in your house. When you're bitter, it's the people you live with that have the hardest time. It's your family, it's your kids who suffer because you're bitter and it affects their life. So how do you fight bitterness? Number one, you got to accept what you can't change. You accept what you can't change. Job 11, 13 and 16. This is in the Good News Translation. Reach out to God, then face the world again, firm and courageous. See, we have to learn with the passing of time what real faith is. And sometimes people think that real faith is ignoring reality. And I hear it at different times, being a pastor. For instance, somebody in your family gets cancer. And I've been incredulous when I will hear somebody because they think that they got to show faith and a loved one or themselves have got cancer and they're like, no, they don't have cancer. I'm not going to have cancer. I'm not going to let that stick to me. I want to tell you, when you've got cancer, when the doctor looks at you and said, it's cancer, it's shown to be cancer, and you say, no, it's not. I'm not going to believe that. I'm not going to receive that. I want you to understand, that's not faith. That is pretending. That's pretending. If you get laid off from work and your income is not going to be there and there's no promise, you don't know what's coming next, and you say, well, everything is okay, I'm good, there's nothing wrong, everything is fine, I want you to know, that's not faith, that's denial. It does not mean that I'm not close to the Lord when I say, you know what? You know what's happened? I lost my job. And I don't know what my next step is going to be. That's reality. And if you come down with some sickness and you say, I'm not sick. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to let that get a hold of me. You know what? That's just dumb. Say, yeah, I'm sick. And I feel bad. Here's the truth. Faith isn't pretending you don't have a problem. It is refusing to be discouraging. It's like, I know I've got this problem, but I know my Father's in control. And so if you're growing in faith and emotional maturity, you realize that most of your life is out of your control. I'm not in control. And here's the truth. The most important things in life are beyond our control. I remember the day, and I've been studying Scripture about men and the sovereignty of God in our lives. And neither one of my boys had made a profession of faith. And it just settled on me, and I got so concerned at the core of my being that here I would be a pastor, and I would have two kids, and neither one of them would chase after the Lord. Because I knew that just because I was a pastor, that didn't mean my boys were going to come to faith in Christ. You understand, you're not in control of whether or not your child believes. You're not in control of whether or not your child chases after the Lord. You pray for them. You seek to live a life that shows them the reality of your faith. But you understand, you are not in control. And there are some godly men and women whose sons and daughters are breaking their heart because they're not chasing after the Lord. And they've said, is that my fault? Did I cause them to not believe? And the answer is no. No. The truth in your outline, sometimes the only way you can manage an unmanageable situation is through acceptance. Acceptance is the first step to peace. You accept what you cannot change. When you lose a loved one, you just walked away from a fresh grave. All the wishing and the hoping and the praying isn't going to bring them back. The truth is, the only way to peace in the face of death is acceptance, which simply means what? It means you say, Father, my wife, my husband has been taken away from me out of the course of time. It wasn't normal. Doesn't seem right that I no longer have a husband or a wife to share my bed.
My son, my daughter is gone. And they had so much to live for. And so we say, Father, I need you. I know I live in a broken world. And I know bad things happen. But I need grace. Father, I need grace to accept what I cannot change. Because I don't want to get swallowed in my grief. Help me. And so number two, you look at what you have and not what you've lost. 1 Thessalonians 5, no matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you. I've never thanked God that I had cancer. And I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna thank God for cancer. I thank God for a wife who loves me. I thank God for two boys who are chasing after God. I thank God for 12 grandkids. Who come to faith in the Lord. I thank God for you, for a church that chases after the Lord and wants to do God's will. I thank God for what I have, not for what I've lost, not for what cancer has done to me. I just say, Father, thank you. Why? Because this is your last truth, I think, and that is that gratitude is the antidote to depression. Thank you, Father, for your work in my life. I'm broken. I'm in a broken world. I have a broken body. All my friends are broken. My family. But you have got a plan for me, and you're working that plan, and you will work everything to my good, because I love you and I seek to live my life for you. I want to ask you to stand, would you please? Heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to ask you this morning, with no one looking around and just me, that you would say this morning, by lifting your hand, that you would just say, starting today, I want to be led, I want to be controlled in my life by the grace and the goodness of God. I don't want to be controlled by whether it's anger or fear or depression. I don't want to be controlled by the losses I've had in my life. I understand I'm in a broken world, but my Father will work everything to my good because I lay it in His hands and I'm trusting Him with it. Will you just raise your hand to say, by God's grace, that's me. That's what I want to do. I don't want to be controlled by my losses. I want to be controlled by what my Father's going to do. And by His grace in my life. Amen. Father, as we get ready to leave this morning, thank you for just walking us through potentially a very raw experience, because losses are real and they're huge. Thank you for helping us remember we live in a broken world. The losses of our life that come through disease are through the brokenness of men, that God, in the midst of all of that, we lay it into your hands, and your promise is you'll bring good to us. You don't make something bad good, but you bring good to us out of what was bad and from our loss. And so thank you for that this morning. that we can leave here and we can have thanksgiving in our heart that, Father, you're in control, even in this broken world, and you watch over my life, and you can bless me in the midst of all of my pain and all of my losses in this broken world. So thank you, Lord. May our offering today say in just another way, we love you, and we know that all good things come from you. Use this for the expansion of the kingdom and for the spreading of the word of God. And we thank you, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen and amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.